Okay, just a brief introduction. As I'm sure you all know, I hope you all know, we're doing different partials right now. So I'm going to join you guys in your current journey in Parshas Shlach. So something I talk about every year, usually we're together for this part. We should talk about it together. But I'll mention it to you because no matter what point of the year it's at, whether you're here with me or you're on your own little screens over here, it's definitely very shy to talk about. Whenever we think about Meraglim, we always talk about Kalev and Yehoshua as the two heroes of the story. You know, again, using just superhero terminology, you may call it Batman and a rabbit. I'm not assigning names as to who's who. But the two heroes who we think are partnering together, it's the two of them versus the 10 other spies. That's the way most people would understand the Meraglim story. But as you look in the Chumash itself, and hopefully you got a chance to look already at the Chumash of the Parsha, you will not find that to be the case at all. As a matter of fact, they seem to be very individual from each other. Just to highlight a few examples, you're rarely going to find Kalev and Yehoshua mentioned in the same discussion, in the same sense. Obviously, when you first mention all the spies, they're among the list of 12. There's two of them, it's Kalev and Yehoshua. However, first of all, we know right away, I'm Perek Yigimel in Pasuk Tes Zayin. I'll read the Pasuk inside so you can appreciate it. Perek Yigimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says in the Chumash that Elish was on Shem Hashem Shalach Moshe Lesoros Arat, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Bin Nun Yehoshua. That Moshe changes Hoshea's name to Yehoshua. And Rashi, there, the famous Rashi, quoting from the Gemara in Sota, which we'll get back to later on, quotes and discusses the reason why it was Moshe changes Hoshea's name to Yehoshua is dafka because Yehoshua needed or he davened that Yehoshua should be able to be saved from the advice of the Meraglim. What happened to Kalev? Why didn't he daven for Kalev? So we see they're different already. Then you look over here in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Beis, moving along as they're taking the journey. The Meraglim are on their way already. Vayaluba Negev Vayavo Ad Chevron. It says that they went through the Negev and then he came to Chevron. What does it mean, he came to Chevron? So Rashi points out, quotes the Gemara and Sota again, that he came to Chevron means that only Kalev goes to Chevron on his own, and says Rashi, he davened by the Kibre Avos, davened by Maras Machpela that was in Chevron. And he said to God's Baruch Hu the following, I should not be tested. I should not be tested by the other Meraglim, and I should not follow in their inappropriate ways. And only Kalev went. He didn't have Yehoshua go with him, just he went solo. By the way, since when do we even have this idea? Was that ever just anywhere else in the Chumash where people davened by other people's kever? We do it today. This is actually the source of us doing it today, some people doing it. But was that a thing back then? Why did Kalev even see fit to go to Chevron? First of all, how did he even find it? Like, were there signs? Or Asa Machpelah, like we have today? How did he even find the Ma'ara? How did he even find where they were buried? And certainly, where did this idea come from of even davening by their kever? Why was that a thing in the first place? We have right now, again, a number of questions we've already discussed. First of all, we see over here that Kalev and Yehoshua seem not to be exactly partners. They're very, very different. Moshe davens only for Yehoshua, not for Kalev. And only Kalev goes to Chevron, not Yehoshua. Moving on, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed, we find right away, Yud Gimel Lamed. I'll do a quick chazara for the guys who just walked in a minute. That's what the questions we have. When finally the showdown comes, and we have the Meraglim saying their terrible piece about what happened, their visit to Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. Kalev silences the crowd to Moshe Rabbeinu. We can handle it. We can go there. We can conquer the land. Only Kalev speaks up. There was no mention of Yehoshua speaking up at all. It's only Kalev speaking up. Again, seems to be they're not working as teammates. They're working very individually. Finally, in Perek Yedal and Pasuk Vav, we have the first time we have them mentioned in the same Pasuk as being partners and teammates. After the other Meraglim deny Kalev's claim and say there's no way we can go up there, we're going to lose for sure. It says in Pasuk Hey, Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem, lifnei kol kal das bnei Yisrael, that Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces. And then Pasuk Vav, Yeshua ben Nun, Kalev ben Yifune, minatarim es haaretz karu b'gehem. Finally, we have Yeshua and Kalev acting together as one. They both tear their garments as a sign of mourning that the way Kal Yisrael is reacting to the news of the spies. Finally, they were together, you know, like they're supposed to be. We would imagine all along that they should have been. Okay, moving along, just skipping ahead to a few more psukim later. In Perek Yudal, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Again, I'll recap the questions in a minute from now to get our answer. Yudal Chav Dalet, it says in the Chumash, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is describing that the punishment for the Meraglim will be they will not go into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be punished. They're not going to Eretz Yisrael. And then it says, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Chav Dalet, V'avdi Kalev Because my servant Kalev had another spirit to him, and he followed me, I'm going to bring him to the land, and his family is going to inherit the land of Israel. No mention of Yeshua, even though Yeshua similarly seems to have passed his test. It's not mentioned there at all. Only Kalev is mentioned. And finally, just one last point. In Perek Yudal and Pasuk Lamed, as Yeshua and Kalev are put together one more last time, it says, Is Hashem talking again, telling everyone else no one else is going to get into Eretz Yisrael? Ki'im Kalev ben Yefuna v'Yeshua ben Nun. Again, they're written together, with Kalev being written first. And in Pasuk Lamed Ches, also the same Perek, it says, is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, Moshe Rabbeinu referring to them, the names are again reversed in order. You have Yeshua first, and then only afterwards do we have Kalev. So I want to reiterate and go through the question one more time that we asked, the question we asked right now, and try to give one more question and give a shot on the idea of the Meraglim. Again, we mentioned that even though we in our growing up always assumed that you had Kalev and Yeshua as two teammates against the other 10 spies, as you look in the Chumash, I quoted many examples over here where you do not find them working in tandem, working together. You have Moshe davening for Yeshua. You have Kalev davening by himself in Hebron. You have Kalev only alone silencing the crowd when the Meraglim were saying that they would not be able to defeat the people living in Eretz Yisrael right now. Finally you mentioned them together later on. Hashem only gives Kalev the real credit. He says, Ruach Acheres Imo. He had another spirit about him, another spirit that allowed him to, and therefore he's given the land of Hebron, the land of Israel. But we do not have what we always imagined there would be, which is this relationship, this partnership between Yeshua and Kalev. And I want to know why. Question number one. Question number two. In Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph, it's right on the heels of a terrible incident that happened right after the story of the Meraglim. Again, the Meraglim were there to try to help us get into Eretz Yisrael, and they blew their task. They talk badly about Eretz Yisrael. And for that reason, they were punished every day, 40 days. They have now 40 years. They're wandering in the Midbar before they ever are allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Immediately after that, though, a few people decide, you know what? We want to do tshuva. We want to change our ways. We want to mend our ways. We're going to go to Israel, and we're going to fight the people there. We're going to show Hashem, we believe in him, and we can do this. And Moshe says, don't do that. I'll be the pasuk inside for you. After they were told they're not going to be able to go to Israel, we have now Vayashkim Baboker, Pasuk Perikidal Pasuk Mem. Vayalu El Rosh Har Lemor. They went into the mountain, the top mountain, saying, Yanu Valinu El Makom Asher Amar Hashem Mekichatanu. We're going to go now. We're going to, Tshuva Gemura. We're the Tshuva Gemura. We're going to go. We're going to fight. And we're going to conquer the land like Hashem wants us to. And Moshe says back to them, what are you talking about? Lama Zeh Atem Ovrimas Pi Hashem. Pasuk Mem Aleph. He looks at Slach. You're not going to succeed. You're not going to be able to defeat the people there. Hashem is not with you. Al ta'alu, don't go. Ki ein Hashem bekir b'chem. Lo tinag fu l'fnei aveichem. I don't want you getting killed. Stay here. People are going to destroy you. And they didn't, by Apilos El Roshar, they didn't care. They went anyways. They were stiff-necked, and they went anyways, and they fought. And it says, V'arun b'ris Hashem u'moshe lo mashu mikir v'machan. No one else followed them. This group of people went. They're called the Ma'apilim. But nobody else followed them in their journey. Try to take back the land of Israel that they already had made a mistake about. And we know the ending of Nebuchadnezzar, the ending is that they were killed. And it says over here, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Memhei, Vayirid Hamaliki, Vakrani, Yoshe Baharahu, Vayakum, Vayaksum, Ara Chorma. They were destroyed. They were killed until the place called Chorma. They didn't make it out of this journey. Terrible incident. A terribly sad moment in Jewish history. You'd imagine, again, here they were trying to right their wrong. At first, they denied the place to go to Israel. Finally, in Meraglim, after the whole story, and we say that they're going to be punished. A few people said, you know what? You're right. Let's go back to Israel. Let's do it now. Moshe says, don't go, and they're killed. Now, what's the response to that? What is the Torah response right after that happens? So, Perek tells about Pasuk Aleph and Beis and Gimel, etc., have a very unusual response. By Deber Hashem and Moshe Limur, Hashem tells Moshe, say to Bnei Israel the following thing. Deber El Bnei Israel Amarta Elihem. Tell Bnei Israel the following thing. Again, you might say, you'd think he'd say, don't go against my wishes. I told you not to go. Here you did it again, right? Whatever you might think happens. Not at all. What's the next thing that happens? Tell Bnei Israel the following thing. When you come to the land that you're supposed to inherit, and you give a korban, an ola or a zevach, because you want to fulfill the mitzvah of a neder that you offered, or nedava that you offered, and to make a rech nichoach. He tells you also bring different things alongside it. Bring the yayin lenesech and things like that. Ma kesher? Why would that be the response? You'd imagine Bnei Yisrael is going through a terrible time. They just found out the bad news. For 40 years, they're stuck in the midbar right now. And then you have people who said, no, we're going to go in. And they were going in, and they got killed. They got slaughtered. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem to tell Bnei Yisrael, listen, I want to tell you something very important. Gather around. When you finally get to Eretz Yisrael, and you bring your korban nedava or your korban nedra, this is how I want you to bring it. That's the response to this? That's how Bnei Yisrael is supposed to react after this terrible tragedy that took place? Very difficult to understand that. Okay, so let's try to get some answers to our questions. We'll start with the answer regarding Yoshua and Kalev. How come they're not mentioned together? Why do they seem like two separate parallel personalities instead of a big, great tag team? So it's my own idea, but I think it makes sense, at least it makes sense to me, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yoshua because only Yoshua was supposed to make it out of the Meraglim. Okay. Kalev was not supposed to make it out at all. He was supposed to be part of the other 10 Meraglim. Supposed to be 11 Meraglim that were bad. And only Yeshua would make it out well. And Moshe Davin, Dafka, for Yeshua to make it out. But Kalev, he was one of the boys. It was like a whole chevron. Yeshua was the teacher's pet. Moshe Rabbeinu's right-hand man. He was the one who was fixing the basic medicine whenever Moshe Rabbeinu would speak. Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had a kesher and a connection, and Moshe knew that Yeshua could make it through this very difficult time. But Kalev, he was like the other guys. Moshe Rabbeinu did not think if anyone would go off, Kalev would go off with them as well. Only Yeshua was the one who he felt was most protected. As a matter of fact, that's what almost happened. Kalev finds himself being pulled in that direction. Only he went to David by Hebron. Why? Because only he felt himself getting swayed and getting pulled out. Yeshua was fine. Yeshua was strong. But Kalev felt himself struggling and slipping. And he goes right away to the Maros Machpelah. You know why he went there, Dafka? Because Maros Machpelah was a place where people were buried who fought against everyone else around them all the time. Avram Avinu was called an Ivri. What does an Ivri mean? He means he was on one side, they were on the other side. Avram Avinu rejected an entire people who were doing Avodah Zarah. He brought everyone back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he was almost killed in the process. And Yitzhak, we know Yitzhak also stood by himself, he stood on the side. Yaakov Avinu was alone, surrounded by Shechem and Chamor and people around him. Yaakov stood strong to what he believed in. And Kalev realizes right now, I'm stuck. I'm surrounded by people who don't have my best interest in mind. And I'm trying to fight them, but I find myself being pulled in the wrong direction. What can I possibly do? Let me go to the people who themselves live their lives this way, who themselves understood that when you get stuck at something, you're able to fight against the masses. As a matter of fact, much of their fight was tefillah. We know the Gemara in Brachos tells us that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov were the creators of davening. Avram made up Shacharis, Yitzchak made up Mincha, and Yaakov made up Maariv. The Gemara Brachos tells us. Kalev goes to the people who invented tefillah and who were the people, the role models, the paradigms of standing against the klal, and he went to them and he davened and he said, I'm using your koach that you showed the world of tefillah, and I'm coming to you because you know what it means to stand against the society and the wave of culture around me. I feel myself losing my way. And I'm asking you to give me the assistance, the koach, when you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Kibrei Avos. Give me the koach to excel and to succeed. Now, fast forward to the next scene that we have with Kalev together and Yoshua in it. We have now the Meraglim saying, we're not going to be able to pull this off. We're going to lose. The people are stronger than we are. And the Gemara in Sotah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says that Yoshua wanted to speak up against the Meraglim, and they silenced him. They said, Rosh Katiyah, this little guy, he has no kids. He's going to say what happens to our future. He has no future himself. He has no children. There's no way we're going to listen to what Yeshua has to say. And here's Kalev watching this happen. And he realizes right now that the masses are starting, the tide is turning, momentum is against Moshe and Aaron, it's against Yeshua, and it's about to swing in the favor of the Meraglim completely. And only Kalev right now has a chance to stand up. That's what Kalev does. It says, Vayas Kalev Esam. I'll read it to you inside the words, because you can see what the unbelievable shot. The Gemara and Sota quotes this, and Rashi quotes it as well. Says the Gemara. Again, Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Chav Beis. Says the Pasuk first. Sorry, one second. Yeah, Yud Gimel Lamed. It says, Vayas Kalev Etza'am El Moshe. Kalev silenced the crowd to Moshe. What does he say? Says that Rashi, quoting the Gemara and Sota, Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. Tzivach V'amar B'chizu Bilvar Asalam Ben Amram. He gets up and he screams. He says, is this the only thing Ben Amram did to us? Now, the word Ben Amram is like a negative, at least to me, it seems to be a negative way to call Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we love each other very much, and I care not to call you by your last name, and you should never call me by my last name. I mean, you can call me Rabbi Schneider, but you should never call me Schneider. Same way I would never call Noam Mizels. I would never do that. I would call him my dear sweet Noam is what I would call him. I would never call him by his last name only. Even when it comes to playing ball, I would never say, I'm taking Benditson. I would never say that. It's a chutzpah. I got Jordan. I'm taking Jordan. He calls me by the last name. It's a chutzpah way to speak to someone. And here they are, Kalev. He says, is this all that Ben Amram did? Now, Ben Amram, are you kidding me? He called Moshe Rabbeinu Ben Amram? How can he do that even? So the reason why he did is because everyone else thought, whose team was Kalev on? Their team. And everyone now says, oh, shh. Let's hear what Kalev has to say. He called him Ben Amram. He's one of the boys. And not like Yehoshua, teacher's pet. He's one of the boys. What does he have to say? And then he shocks them. Says Rashi, Hashomei ha'asavur shabal tzapeh b'gnuso. Everyone thought he was about to rail and team up against Moshe Rabbeinu. When we talk shayab libam al Moshe, which will differ from Meraglim, because they all were on the Meraglim side against Moshe Rabbeinu, shasku kulam l'shmo b'gnuso. They all wanted to hear what was going to be said by Kalev. He's going to pile it onto Ben Amram. And then he shocked them all. Amar, he says, v'alo karlan asayam. He put the sea for us. He gave us the man. He gave us the food every day. He gave us a slav. The quail was given by him. He provided and protected us throughout everything. What are you hating on the guy for? And the place is shocked because they were not expecting Kalev to take this turn. And that's what the Torah says. Ki ruach acheres ha'isa'imo. So the Pasuk says he had another ruach to him. Everyone else thought he was the other type, it's the other team. And he shocked the world. He wasn't with Yehoshua. They took two very different paths to get where they got to. Kalev's path, Yehoshua's path was a path that he was born into. He was from birth a natural connector to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Kalev was not like that. He was naturally one of the boys. He was part of that chevra, part of that group. But he felt himself going off. Ruach achera says the Marsha and Sota. It means that we all have two ruchos to us. We have a ruach, a behemi, we're an animal, and a ruach adam, and we're a person. We have a kedush, we have a neshama. Most people follow their ruach behemi. But Kalev, ruach acheres haisa imo. He had the other ruach of the marshan. He followed his ruach of being an adam, of having a neshama. And he fought against his urges. And that's how he was able to escape the clutches of society, the clutches of the people around him getting into his zone. He went and he davened to around people and near people who he knew, even though they're no longer alive, represented what he wanted to be as well. Now, that's a very hard thing to do, but it's demanded of us. If you want to be strong, there'll be times when you feel yourself being pulled in different directions. You know, right now, even though you're home, you're still home and you're locked away. You're home and you're stuck in a screen. You're stuck in your room. You're not part of the rest of the seaboard yet. We're still in some sort of a quarantine or a lockdown. But some point soon, it's going to open up. And you're going to have people all around you who have different needs and different wants, and they wanted you to join them. And you're going to feel a ruach acheres. You're going to feel something different going on. They invite you to go to that place or be with those people. And you're going to feel difficult. It's going to be torn. What you have to do is you have to daven. Because Baruch Hu should give us the koach. We should realize what our ruach is supposed to be like. What we're fighting against our entire lives. When it comes to how we live our days, what we're supposed to be doing with ourselves, you have to always understand where your ruach is supposed to be, how you're supposed to be connected. When you realize that, you can fight against the masses. You may make mistakes sometimes, but don't ever forget where you came from. And make sure that you align yourself with a positive team. And on that note, I want to tell you what the ending is of this piece that I mentioned earlier, the second question I asked you. Why does Hashem respond to Klal Yisrael's terrible tragedy after they went up to try to prove a tshuva gemura and go back to Eretz Yisrael after the Rabbim said not to? And Ma'apilim went up and said, we're going to go up now. Moshe says, don't go up. They don't listen and they get slaughtered, they get killed. And the response is, when you get to Israel and you offer your korban neder and nedava, don't forget to add yayin to it. Ma kesher. Where's the segue? I thought you could explain the following chiddush. It's a very important piece for us to understand as well. At this point in time, imagine Klal Yisrael is broken. They lost to go to Israel, and people who wanted to go to Israel were just slaughtered and killed. And they think to themselves, we're never going to get there. What does Hashem say to them? You're going to get there. It's all going to be okay at the end. The words he uses, tell Bnei Israel, ki tavo el eretz moshe zechem, when you do get there, because you will get there. And therefore, after the heartbreak of getting stuck now for 40 years, And people who try to do tshuva were rejected. Hashem says, there'll be a time that comes that you will get there in the end. And by the way, says Hashem, what you just saw just now, people trying to give extra effort and I rejected them, that wasn't in the right context. But when you go to Israel and you want to offer a neder or a nedava, you know what neder and nedava are? It's you giving extra. You don't have to give a neder. You have to give a nedava. You opted, you chose something extra. There is a time and a place for you to do something extra. It will be around the corner. But you have to follow the lead that represents by Klal Yisrael. To follow the lead the Chachamim gave us already. You can't be just a maverick. You can't be a vigilante and just do what you want when you want to do it. Even giving a neder, even a nedava, requires you to be in a position to be offering such things. And therefore, there's place for individuality. There's place for you to do things on your own and to feel good about them. But you have to do it in a certain context. And that's not what just happened. But there's hope, because you will get to Israel and you'll be able to offer things that you choose to offer that aren't demanded of you like my people want to do, as long as you follow my lead and my wishes. And that's how to live through life. Whenever things come around us and we have a challenge around us, there are ways to live your life. We live in a crazy world right now. Rules are being broken left and right. Rules are being broken, whether it be quarantine or social distancing rules, for different protests. The world is silent. The world is silent. At the same time, you go to Davin and the Minyan, with more, you'll be fined. I'm not suggesting you should violate the rules. You shouldn't. You should keep the rules of the community that you live in. You should keep them. But you see around you a wave of chaos. You see around you people with ruach acheres that doesn't make any sense to us at all. And you have two choices. You follow the masses and you allow chaos to enter yourself also, or you stay anchored into your system of beliefs. There's room for things. There's room for a neder. There's room for a nedava. There's room for a protest. There's room for many, many things. When you follow a certain context and a certain pattern and a certain direction, the moment that you lose sight of those things, chaos ensues, and everything we work hard to do is all lost in the process. I'll give you a bracha. Well, if you're Yeshua from birth, call kavod to you. If you're already a natural, driven person connecting from youth, call kavod. But most of us are not like that. But there's still a spot called the Kalev spot. They're not the same. They're different. They take different paths, but they both got to the same place. And even the Kalev people have a spot that Yeshua doesn't have, because you have an in with the boys. You have an in with the Chevra. And you're listened to sometimes more than a Yeshua can be listened to. And if you take what you're doing properly and you treat the people around you with respect, but you stand up for what you believe in and you don't compromise your principles, the hope and the goal is that people will hear you out and learn how to be individuals themselves, how to offer their own neder and nedava in the right context. Mr. Shem, we should be zocha to follow the first part of this pasuk I quoted. To vo'a la'aretz, you should be able to get back to Eretz Yisrael soon. We should all come back with Mashiach, but certainly those of us who are coming back for Eretz Yisrael to study and to learn and to spend time together, you should all be zocha to get back here soon and safely. Mr. Shem, your summers should be summers of Kalevs and of Yeshuas, where you have the Ruach Acheres, the proper Ruach, which will allow you to be strong in all of your ways, support each other, be inspiration to your families and your friends around you. Shkoyach for tuning in. Wish you all a beautiful Shabbos.